coming today on Negotiate Your Best Life with Rebecca Zung.
So I'm really passionate about teaching this because the sooner you learn this and the sooner you learn to trust it, the more smoothly everything will go for you.
So the big questions are these. How can we navigate and negotiate every situation in our lives, in our career, in our businesses, in our relationships, and even with ourselves for our own self-worth? In other words, what if you could win every time and have no losers? Let's face it, we're not negotiating just to buy a car or for a pay raise. We are negotiating for living in every aspect of our lives. How can we do that powerfully, successfully, and victoriously? Those are the questions, and this podcast will give you the answers. My name is Rebecca Zung, and welcome to the time where you negotiate your best life. Welcome to today's podcast. Today, I have somebody really, really incredible and different for me on this podcast, but I'm really interested and intrigued on how this conversation is going to go today. We have celebrity psychic with us, Laura Powers, and we're going to be talking about negotiating the unknown. And how do we do that? And you know, what does that look like for somebody who's a psychic? So welcome, Laura. Thank you for being here with us.
Oh, thank you for having me. It's my pleasure. This is one of my favorite things to talk about, and I'm really excited to talk about it with your audience.
Yeah, and we want to talk about successfully negotiating the unknown, which how do we even think about doing that. But let's go back and talk about you for a little bit before we get into dive into that. You know, so how did you even know you had psychic powers? What tell us about like how that all began?
Yeah, so I was like the kid in The Sixth Sense when I was a little kid. If you've ever seen that movie, I basically saw ghosts, and a lot of times they looked like live people. Not always, but I mean, this was a thing where I regularly would see a spirit and would, you know, think they were a live person until they do something like, you know, buzz through a door, walk through a door. And I just thought for a long time that I was crazy or there was just something wrong with me because other people didn't see what I did. It was clear. I didn't really talk about it. I could just tell, you know, by observing what other people saw and sensed that they didn't. And I remember asking my mom when I was little, maybe 7 years old or so, if she saw things, and I needed based on her response that she didn't know what I was talking about. So I just kept it to myself because I was afraid of this response, you know, maybe being put in insane asylum or, you know, just being ridiculed. Yeah, like seriously, this was something that was on my mind. And so I just kept it to myself, but I had a lot of really intense experiences. I could be what's called a trance medium. And that is when another spirit comes in through a medium's body and communicates through that medium's body. So if you've ever seen the movie Ghost, that's when Patrick Swayze goes into Whoopi Goldberg like that. I could do that. Don't want to do that. Prefer to have my body for me. But until I learned how to have, you know, boundaries in place, you know, spirits did try. So it was very intense for me growing up. And basically, there was a big shift for me when I was in college. So I just didn't talk about it, but it got stronger and stronger. And sometimes that happens when you have a life purpose involving something, like you can't ignore it because it's like, it's a part of what you're here for. You can't really deny it. So it got stronger. And then a family friend described a ghost in college that I'd seen, but never told anyone about. So that was life changing for me because, you know, I knew it wasn't crazy. I knew it wasn't in my head, but I still didn't really have the tools to learn how to manage it. And so I made the decision at that point in time to try to block out my abilities. And I was fairly successful in the sense that I stopped seeing and sensing for the most part. But I also basically shut down my intuition. And fast forward many years and I was a mess. You know, I was in a bad marriage. I was unemployed. The recession had just hit. I was physically ill. I really had no idea what to do with my life. Like everything that I've been doing was now shut down because of the recession. And so I just had to do a real kind of turnaround. And I actually went to a psychic myself to try to just get guidance. And she explained to me this whole thing about blocking out my abilities and blocking out my intuition. So I set about the process of opening back up and, you know, had some incredible experiences right away. And very quickly, you know, started taking classes and then started doing it for work. And, you know, here I am now. I've been, you know, on television, work with celebrities, travel all the time for my work. I have 7 books on the subject. I have, you know, podcast, Healing Powers podcast on this topic. And yeah.
So tell us about what's the name of your podcast?
Oh, sure. It's Healing Powers podcast. My name is Laura Powers. So it's tied in with that.
Yeah. And tell us about your books.
Yeah. So I have 7 books and they are all on the psychic kind of spiritual and angelic realm. So I have a book called Life in the Afterlife. That's about, if you want to learn about me kind of opening up in my sort of story, that's one more memoir-like. It's called Life in the Afterlife. And then I have a book on angels, about how they communicate with us and how to know when they're around, how to ask for their help. A book on manifesting called Angels of Manifesting. A book about psychic phenomenon called Diary of a Psychic. A book on the supernatural. And a book on ghosts. If you like that stuff, it's Diary of a Ghost Whisperer. So yeah, those are all there. And I'm actually working my first book that's not about this realm, which is on podcasting, and that'll be coming out later this year.
Psychic podcasting.
Podcasting has been so amazing for me. So I feel like it's such a powerful medium. And it's a big part of my business. You know, I'm a person that actually makes money podcasting, and it's a marketing platform for me and my work. So I feel the drive to share that with people.
Yeah. And I'm actually, we just recorded a show this morning and I'm going to be on your show.
Yes. It's fabulous. Talking all about covert narcissists
and how to negotiate with them.
Yeah.
So I'll make sure that I push that out on my social media when that happens.
Great.
So, you know, let's talk about negotiating the unknown and how to even use psychics. And, you know, for you, you mentioned that you went through a divorce. A lot of my listeners have been through a divorce or they're dealing with narcissists and they're looking at the unknown and the future of their life. So how does a psychic go about doing that?
Sure. So yeah. And first of all, I have to say that a big part of me developing my abilities was about trying to protect myself from that same type of situation. So my marriage fell apart. It was not what I thought that it was. I realized that the man I thought I married was not the man that I married. There was a lot of deception. And I basically was like, wow, I don't want to ever go through that process again. So when I started getting psychic training, I wasn't initially thinking to be a practicing psychic. I just wanted to use that information for myself. Like I wanted to check in, use my intuition, navigate better. And one of the first things that I started using it for was to check out people for dating.
Oh, that is hilarious.
Like, okay, someone's asked me out. Let me kind of take a look at them psychically and be like, oh no, that is not happening. Like it was fascinating experience. By the way, I highly recommend doing that. If you don't want to learn to do that yourself, you know, can hire someone. But I will say, hire someone who is not really blocked in that area. So don't ask someone who's really sick as a psychic, you know, to look at health or, you know.
Okay, so that's a good question. So how do you know who that psychic is?
Well, I think first of all, I do recommend looking at reviews, reading reviews, seeing, you know, what does that person have to say, or, you know, do they have videos and things that resonate for you? And then just checking in can also, you know, sometimes there's information about that person, but, you know, there's some things that are quite obvious. If a person has had a string of, you know, messy divorces, they may not be the best person to ask about love, for example. Just as an example, we're all learning. But yeah, also someone else can still often look better, but than you can with training, but still just there's some people that it's going to be like a clear no.
Yeah. But I mean, how do you vet a psychic? How do you know like, oh, that person is good? I mean, obviously, yeah, you can read reviews, but is there a way to sort of know like right from the beginning, like, oh, this is not a good person or.
Yeah. Well, I think reviews can be helpful. Of course, they're not 100% because, you know, it's not foolproof. Asking for recommendations is great, you know, especially from someone that you trust. And also just following your own intuition when you think about connecting with that person. How does it feel? You talked about navigating for yourself. And one of the biggest things is, how does something feel in your body when you think about doing that action or connecting with that person? And that will tell you a lot. If you feel heavy, if you get a headache, if you, you know, a lot of these things are going to be really informative in terms of what it actually would look like to be with that person. So especially if you're empathic, and an empath is someone who feels energies outside of their body, but I would say all people, and especially all women, are at least somewhat empathic.
Except that there are covert passive-aggressive narcissistic women.
Of course.
I unfortunately know a couple.
Yes, but I do think more women are empathic than men, for example.
Yeah, I would agree with that, except maybe gay guys, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think we all have various kind of feminine and masculine energies within us. But regardless of that fact, you can still kind of sit how that feels. I'm curious, you know, when you think back on, like, for example, any situations you've had when there have been people that you later found out that there were some not good dynamics with that person, or they were narcissists, did you have any bad feelings in your body, in your throat or in your stomach, or just a heavy feeling or something?
In the beginning?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. But, you know, I tend to have pretty strong intuition. And the problem is that, you know, we as women, we tend to, especially empathic women, we want to believe the best about people. And so we tend to look at the good qualities about somebody. And even if you see not so great qualities, you tend to explain them away, or you tend to think, you know, maybe it's not as bad as you think. My friend Tamsin Fidel, who I've interviewed before and whatever, she's an anchor in New York City and is on television a lot. She actually talks about how we tend to take red flags and turn them pink, like kind of dilute them a little bit.
Completely.
And, you know, I've been guilty of that. And you know, and then it ends up awful for me, absolutely awful. So, you know, I can say for myself, like when I ignore my intuition and ignore those signs that there's a problem with a person, I don't like abort right away, which I should, like, immediately go, you know what? I should not continue to be in relationship with this person. I should, you know, move in a different direction.
And I think that's very common. And I think we're raised in a very analytical, logical society, right? We're not taught to trust our intuition, to even acknowledge it or understand how it works. And so I think there's a learning curve with that. And unfortunately, because we don't learn it as children, a lot of us are learning these harder lessons as adults when the stakes are higher than, you know, when you're six or something. And so I'm really passionate about teaching this, because the sooner you learn this and the sooner you learn to trust it, the more smoothly everything will go for you.
Okay, so somebody who's, you know, new at this and they're looking at a new life, maybe they're trying to get out of a relationship with a narcissist and they're so afraid of what the new life is going to look like, what would be the first thing you would tell them to do to start getting even in touch with that intuition?
Yeah, so I think there's several things that you can do that are really easy. One of them is just developing mindfulness and meditation. And meditation can mean a lot of different things for different people. It might be literally listening to a guided meditation. I have a bunch of free ones, by the way, on Insight Timer, if you want to, you know, connect with some of my meditations there. It could be...
It's
a meditation app. Yeah, it's a meditation app. It's free. It's the biggest, like, online community of meditators in the world, I believe. But it's great, and it's free. There's a, you know, premium version, but there's a lot that's free. And so that's a really wonderful option. Maybe you do well with what I call moving meditations, which is maybe, you know, you do well when you go for a walk or a swim or something, and that's when it helps you feel calm and you can really connect with your own thoughts and feelings. Some people, it might be, you know, getting a massage or taking a bath. Whatever helps you feel calm and connected is really good. And then just paying attention to your body, because our body is constantly communicating with us. And basically our body, I think, is kind of like psychic in a way. It will feel the pain before we physically feel the pain. So if you're around someone and you get a stomach ache, or if you're around someone and your throat feels sore or hoarse or something, like, this is all information that is important and relevant. And the biggest thing, I think, is learning to trust that And it's hard because sometimes, you know, we won't know why we would feel that way unless we go down that path and then we get that answer, but it's usually a painful answer if it's one of those uncomfortable feelings. But paying attention to your body and then just really getting in tune with your own true thoughts and feelings versus just kind of like, you know, whatever's spinning around from, you know, society.
Coming up, more on negotiating the unknown with celebrity psychic Laura Powers.
I always inform people like, this is what I'm reading in terms of the energy of now. And I absolutely believe we have the ability to change things. And I do work a lot with clients that are looking to change things like on a long-term basis. So, you know, if you, whatever that vision is for yourself, you know, how can we go about bringing in, you know, changes that get you there, both physically as well as, you know, energetically, emotionally, and spiritually.
Is there something that's interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? BetterHelp Online Counseling is there for you. You can connect with a professional counselor in a safe, private environment. It's online or it can be phone, chat, or text. They help you with any issue that you have an issue with, such as depression, stress, anxiety, relationships, sleeping, trauma, basically anything you can think of. If you're unhappy, you can get a new counselor at any time. They're available worldwide. Financial aid is available for those who qualify. Best of all, it's truly affordable. Listeners of Negotiate Your Best Life get 10% off your first month with the discount code BREAKINGFREE. So why not get started today? BetterHelp.com/BREAKINGFREE. Simply fill out the questionnaire and get started. That's BetterHelp.com/BREAKINGFREE. Are you struggling with how to negotiate and win? Maybe you're dealing with a personality that's particularly challenging, like a narcissist or other high conflict personality, and you're feeling powerless. Make sure to download my free Win My Negotiation cheat sheet at www.winmynegotiation.com.
Rebecca has had conversations with other guests on negotiating and navigating healing in episodes such as Negotiating Healing the Right Way, using journaling to break through breakdowns with Jane Portnoy.
There's a lot of our listeners that are dealing with breakup, that are dealing with divorce.
Yeah.
And you went through a very painful breakup.
Sure did.
And, you know, the guy didn't treat you very well the way he should have and all of those things. And so tell us how you used writing, if you did.
I did.
To help heal from that.
Absolutely. You know, I don't know that I ever thought like, oh, I used writing as my tool to heal myself. I used it as an opportunity to be honest with myself.
And now we return to today's show.
You know, if somebody's in a toxic relationship, what would you suggest that they do in order to start feeling strong enough to get out of that toxic relationship?
Well, I think the first thing is to know that you have options. Connect with resources spiritually and physically. So I work a lot with angels. Angels are an incredible resource that most people don't really think of as being there for them. And angels are divine beings of light who are here to help us, but they honor our free will. So they do need us to ask for their help. So mentally ask for your angel's help. Archangel Michael is a wonderful angel specifically for protection. And he is for protection both physically as well as emotionally. So if you feel like you're in physical danger from a stranger, from someone you know, or if you're in some kind of emotionally toxic situation, ask for his help. And then the other thing is just know that you have resources and reach out to people. So whether it's friends, nonprofits, and make a plan and start putting those things in action and just know that you deserve better. I think a lot of women in particular, but anyone who's in a toxic situation end up being in these situations because we don't feel we deserve it. We don't feel we can have more. We're not valuing ourselves. And I'm here to say you are valuable. You're worth it. You deserve better.
Yeah, really, really good reminder. And I totally agree. I mean, sometimes I think we get attached to, you know, it's almost like a habit. We even if we don't like the thoughts or we don't like the situation, we end up kind of attached to the situation, and it makes it really hard to make that change, you know. And you know, we're talking today about successfully negotiating and navigating the unknown. Just the word unknown can be kind of scary, I think, don't you think?
Oh, absolutely. And I think what tends to happen when we hear a word like that is for most people, it goes into a place of fear, like unknown, that's scary. But the truth is, we don't really know ever in a way, but we can shift what's coming to us. And unknown can also be exciting. Like, I don't think I could have imagined some of the things that, are regularly in my life now. And that's unknown, but it's an exciting kind of unknown. So unknown doesn't have to be bad. I mean, I've had some incredible things. You know, one of the recent things that I did was I got invited to be on Will Ferrell's, you know, Ron Burgundy podcast. And that is like never would have entered my mind many years ago. I feel like, you know, working with this, you know, really funny and, you know, wonderful man on this show. And I had a great time doing it. So just open your mind to the possibility that unknown can actually be really incredible and kind of dreamlike as well.
Yeah. So I have a question. I've always been curious to ask a psychic this question. I believe that we have a power to create our future through our thoughts.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, it's really just a law of physics, you know, like attracts like. So whatever you're thinking is going to manifest. You know, one of my favorite expressions is you don't manifest what you want, you manifest what you are. Because, you know, whatever you're being, then that's what you're going to attract more of. But how does that play into when you are reading a person and you're saying, okay, this is going to happen to you, and this is what I'm seeing happening to you, when they could completely shift what they want, you know, 30 seconds after they walk out of the meeting with you?
Yeah. So, yeah, you brought up two very good points. One is, you know, manifesting and creating what you want. So I believe the universe is very much like a Netflix queue, responding constantly to whatever you watch, you know, so whatever you engage in, you set more of that. So a lot of manifesting is what we say yes or no to. And that really informs, you know, whatever is brought to us. And then also our thoughts are very much like prayers. So if you're worrying about a lot, think about it as like you are attracting that to you, and to just keep monitoring your thoughts and trying to shift it more to things of what you want instead of what you don't want is key. And then you're absolutely right about, you know, when I'm reading for something in the future, I always inform people like this is what I'm reading in terms of the energy of now. And I absolutely believe we have the ability to change things. And I do work a lot with clients that are looking to change things like on a long-term basis. So, you know, if you, whatever that vision is for yourself, you know, how can we go about bringing in, you know, changes that get you there, both physically as well as, you know, energetically, emotionally, and spiritually. But there are things that are maybe more likely to happen than others. And some of that has to do with things that we even kind of decided as a soul what we were going to experience before. And maybe there's a lesson associated with that, but maybe if we learn the lesson, we don't have to go through that particular thing. So there is some flexibility. And just like in life, there's some souls that plan more and some that have more openness. You know, we all know there's people that are super planners and those that don't have any plan, you know, and our souls are that way too. Some of us, it's more like kind of regimented in terms of what's coming. And for some others, it's more loose. But we all have that ability to change things, and it's based on our choices and the decisions that we're making.
Okay. But that brings up an interesting question, because I think that, you know, I don't know if you're familiar with the work of Brian Weiss and Many Lives, mm-hmm. Many Masters,
yeah,
and things like that. But, you know, some people believe that, you know, certain souls are more evolved than others. Or maybe older souls, or maybe they've learned lessons in past lives before. I mean, some people don't even believe in past lives. So I'm just kind of doing conjecture here. But, you know, what is your response to that when people ask you those questions?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I do believe that, but you know, and by the way, I don't expect everyone to believe what I believe because they don't have my experiences, my perceptions, but I remember past lives. I do past life readings for people. And so ever since I was little, I've known there was more. One of my first memories is actually from before I was born, like right before I was born and into, you know, my current, life. Yes, I believe that there are souls who are, you know, kind of older. That's not quite the right term, but have had a lot more incarnations than other souls or more experienced. And then there are those that have had less. And actually, I believe that a lot of people that are, you know, narcissists, covert narcissists, manipulative or whatever, they're basically very young souls. So if you look at the progression, you know, of children and development, there's a certain phase where children will suddenly kind of acknowledge and understand the other. I think it's maybe around 2 or something where there's really this like, oh my gosh, they start to really get it. And like before that, they're just so focused on themselves. It's just a developmental thing. And I believe that happens on a soul level. So a lot of narcissists and manipulative people, they're just very young souls from my perspective as a psychic. And
very young, pain in the ass souls.
Yes. And part of what's happening, you know, for these older souls is I think we need to learn to see where a person really is and what they're capable of. Like, would you expect a 2-year-old to go participate and get themselves out of bed and go to a college class? No, you would not. Like, that is just not something they're going to be capable of doing. But what happens, you know, in terms of incarnation is we're like, we don't see that stuff. We don't see their soul age. And we just kind of expect everyone to be where we are. And that's where we get into problems. You can't expect a 2-year-old to act like a 20-year-old or an 80-year-old or whatever. But when we learn to tune in and use our intuition, that helps us better basically connect with that frequency and understanding, whether or not we're really understanding that information, we can at least recognize, is this person on the same page that I am or not?
Yeah, yeah. Talk about frequencies, because I talk about that a little bit in my, inside my program, actually, and how, you know, with emotions, we actually, there's actually a vibrational level to emotions, and emotions like anger and sadness and you know, the not feel good emotions, the feel bad emotions, they actually vibrate at a, you're literally vibrating at a lower yeah. energy level. So, and you know, and joy and that sort of thing is much higher frequency, higher vibrational level.
Absolutely.
So can you talk yes. about that?
Yeah. So that's definitely a real thing. And there's a lot of kind of low vibe stuff happening right now with a lot of fear, fear for safety and violence, which ultimately usually comes from fear of some kind, is like the lowest level, and love is the highest. And then there's, you know, things that are varying levels in between. But I think when you pay attention to that and you can feel into, you know, where people are on that general phase. We all have highs and lows, but there are people where there's sort of general sort of average frequency is maybe, you know, here, and then there's others where it's up here or whatever. And a lot of the problems come in when there's a mismatch, when, you
yeah.
know, people that are vibrating here, if someone that's up here tries to connect with them, it's almost impossible for that person to go up here. So you know what's going to happen? They're going to bring that person down. And you know what happens is usually this person gets hurt. They come down and it's violence, it's emotionally toxic situations, because that person is not able to sustain and come up to that level. It's like tuning forks. You know, you hit one and there's always this matching thing that happens, and a higher vibe person is always going to feel like they have to come down to that lower level. And so part of making for an easier life for yourself is to find people that are, you know, where you are, or maybe, you know, we're a little higher, whatever, people to be around for life, or virtually, you know, listen to podcasts or watch whatever, people that are this very high vibe place to help you.
Yeah. So, I agree with that. I mean, you know, I know in my life, the times that I felt like I've been evolving or moving, you know, into a higher vibrational level, the people who are at a lower vibrational frequency, they just can't stay in your space. They cannot stay in your space.
Yeah, it's literally almost impossible for them to do that.
Yeah, I always say, like, you know, light waves and radio waves, they're in the same universe, but they're not, they can't hold hands and travel together, right?
Right. Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it. And I really do believe that these are a type of wave, whether or not we can really measure them yet, that's what's happening. There's a wave, there's a frequency that's being sent out.
Yeah. And that's a really good point. I really hadn't thought about the fact before that, you know, you can go down. They can definitely pull you down and go slower, but they can't go faster. I mean, you know, they can, but they'd have to work really hard at...
And maybe short term, but usually those are lessons associated with that. If they haven't learned the lessons that keep them up high, they're going to be down in that lower phase.
Yeah, that's really, really good. I like that. So, I wanted to ask you that. I'm going to ask you a question that, you know, people probably want to know. And one is, do you read people in social context? Like, let's say you just meet somebody and you're having a conversation with them in a social situation. Can you read them at that point? Or do you?
Well, I have pretty strong boundaries with my work and my energy in terms of, you know, that I need to have some kind of energy exchange, some kind of energy drinks, because it takes a lot of energy for me to do what I do. I have been known to meet people and, you know, end up doing a reading for them there, but that like, here's how you pay. And then they pay. And then we're like, okay, now we can do it. But not always. Sometimes I'm like, no, I'm not working right now. But I do read in social environments, like I read for parties and, you know, things
no,
like
no,
that.
I didn't mean like actually tell them what you're reading, but just like get a sense.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm always giving information, but I try not to be nosy. Basically, what I've set the intention with my guides that I get information that's important for me to know, that's helpful for me and my navigation. But I'm not going to be like reading around and, you know, people's lives or, you know, minds or anything. I really honor people's boundaries and their privacy. So I only get into that stuff if they've asked me to, or if I'm connecting with that person and there's something that I need to know for my own. Like I said, when I was considering dating someone, I'd be like, okay, well then I'm involved, so I'm going to check you out and like,
yeah.
See what I need to know. But no, I don't do that, but I do get flashes of insight. Like I said, when it's important for me to know certain things.
Yeah, no, I was just curious because I remember, you know, I had this mom's group of a bunch of lawyer when it was women lawyers when my daughter was little. Yeah. And I invited a psychologist to come one time. And one of the women lawyers was like, oh, she's going to be like analyzing us the whole time. And so I just thought about that, like, oh, do people think that about psychics? Oh, they're reading me. They know everything about me.
You know, I do think that happens sometimes. And it's funny because that some people are concerned about that. And it's like, look, I'm not really wanting to be, you know, in your business unless I've been asked to be in your business or something. But yeah, I'm constantly getting information and I know things about people. That doesn't mean I'm trying to be nosy, but I do get flashes of insight and information. And also, I think the biggest way where this is not something I have to try is I'm an empath. So I feel what's going on when I'm around someone. I feel what's going on with them emotionally. You can't hide that from me. I also will feel things in my body. And I do some work in terms of health with people. It's funny how often this has happened where I'm like, what is going on with my right knee today or whatever? And then I'll have a session with that client and it's like, oh, I'm totally feeling their pain.
That's
hilarious. All the time, happens all the time.
That is so hilarious.
You know, I'm busy living my life. So I, you know, if it gets to be persistent, then I'll kind of check in on that, but I'm not kind of looking at that all the time.
So we are just about out of time, but I wanted to have you let our viewers know, or listeners, depending on how they're consuming this, how they can learn more about you.
Sure. So my website for my psychic work is healingpowers.net, and there's all information there. My services page has how you can work with me. My podcast is listed on my podcast page. And yeah, I'd love to connect. I do work with individuals still. I teach classes. normally travel, a bit of a slow dead now with everything happening with the coronavirus, but yeah. And then I love to do media and talk. You know, I do talks on angels, on manifesting, on tapping into your intuition. So if you have a group and you look for someone to come speak, then I'm always interested in learning about that as well.
Thank you so much. This was really, really fascinating. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. It was my pleasure. I love talking about this stuff. And I really encourage everyone, you know, to learn to connect with their intuition, even if it's just, you know, learning to pay attention to their body. Like, this is huge. It can change your life in such dramatic ways.
Good advice. Thank you. Thanks for stopping by and listening to this episode of Negotiate Your Best Life. I'm Rebecca Zung. Check back next Monday for more inspirational pearls of wisdom. And if you enjoyed today's podcast, I'd love if you would give it a 5-star rating and tell me what you liked in a review on iTunes. Also, be sure to grab your winning negotiation cheat sheet at winmynegotiation.com. And remember, today is a perfect day to start negotiating your best life.